But the word of God in here is delightful. And so, since we know place to go, give us your word, give us your word, give us your word. Amen? Father, we thank you. And we pray that you would bless this time and bless this word. Because we ain't going anywhere. We want to be encouraged. We want to be challenged. We want to be that salt and light. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about understanding God's will for our lives, and we've seen that He has uniquely designed each one of us with a purpose and a plan that He already set in motion before the foundation or the creation of the world. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before you were born, I set you apart." In Psalm 139:16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your heart," or in your book, "before one of them came to be." You know, God really does have amazing plans for your life, for all of our lives. But here's the deal. It's still up to us to accept this call on our life and to walk in it, to walk in His will. We have to respond. We have to respond. If somebody offers to give you $1 million, if you don't go there and pick it up, you don't get it. When we do that, though, when we open the door to God's will and we allow ourselves to begin, you know, flowing in His will, all of a sudden we enter into this. I was thinking of the Chronicles of Narnia. If you remember, if you ever read that, when they go through this closet, they enter into this new land, or, you know, there's different stories like that. And we enter this into this amazing, wonderful, meaningful, powerful, purposeful life. And it's through getting on board with God, getting onto His path, getting into that path of righteousness, into His will. But we also have to remember that God's not the only one who wants us walking in His will. There's another guy, we know him as the devil or Satan, who has the same kind of idea. He wants to use you also for his will, for his purposes. But the big difference is he's a thief and a murderer. And all he wants to do is rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And so 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Ephesians tells us that we're going to face battles as we try to serve God and live for Him and walk in His will. It says in 6:12, Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." And if that wasn't enough, having to deal with all those spiritual forces trying to stop us from walking God's will, on top of that spiritual struggle, we have all the distractions of the world. Politics, entertainment, sports, work, business, cutting the grass, cleaning the garage, vacuuming, cooking, all the different things of life. And then, of course, there's the passions and the lusts and the desire for pleasures that this flesh wants. That's always there. So here we are. We're facing battles on three fronts. We're trying to walk in God's will. And we got a battle over here of the demonic. We got a battle here of the world system. And then we got the battle here of our flesh. Wow. And all these things are trying to distract us and pull us away from the direction that we want to go, which is towards God. Thankfully, according to Ephesians 1:19, it says that we have incomparably great power, that there's this incomparably great power for us who believe. Some of these forces that we talked about, even the demonic realm, they have a kind of power that that they have, but none of these have the kind of power that's available to us. Not even the demonic realm. There is no force on earth that compares to the power of God. God's power is Holy Spirit working inside of us. It says is incomparable. You can't compare it to any of those things. Why am I saying all that? Because we're trying to walk in God's will, and I'm bringing it out there. We got all these things that want to stop us, but none of them have the power that's in us. Even when we think that we are too weak, if we put our trust in God, we'll find that His power then is made perfect in our weakness. Remember, Paul said that when he was praying to God, and Lord, I asked the Lord to take away this thorn in my flesh, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Even the devil can't stand up to us as long as we are operating in God's power. Now, if we're just going in our own strength, he can beat us up. But in God's power, he can't. He can't. 1 John 4:4 tells us that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's God's word. That's his promise. That's his truth. It's a fact. The power that's in you is greater than any power in this world. But there's one more thing that we must do if we want to remain in God's will. If we want to fight the good fight and finish the race, there's something that we have to do. And that thing that we have to do is to persevere. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. That scripture is telling us we have to persevere in the will of God. We've been talking about understanding God's will, responding to His will, His call, walking in His plan, His purpose. And that's what this is saying, that that's wonderful to get into God's purpose, wonderful to find out His will, to understand it, to get into it. But if we don't persevere in it, we lose. We have to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. If we quit, we'll never win. I'm sure you probably heard that statement. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. If we quit, we can't win. Perseverance is what separates the winners from the losers. Success from failure. Perseverance is the ability to press on even when the going is tough, when things are hard. Perseverance is what will eventually determine your fate. The end result of your life will be determined by how much you persevered. Your goals will be fulfilled if you persevere. One of the most famous examples of somebody who persevered, and I've talked about this in the past, but it's such a great example, is Thomas Edison. He invented the storage battery, something we all use, batteries. And it only took him 10,296 tries. 10,296 tries. After he had done 10,000, he wrote them all down, every experiment. After he had recorded 10,000 attempts at making a battery, his staff said, Tommy, it's time to quit. It's time to quit. You failed. It ain't working. It isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to make something to store energy. You just can't do it. I mean, in these days, that seems silly to think that, but when there was nothing out there that could store energy, and he was working and trying to figure out how to do it, this was something radical. And look at all the stuff that has come from that. So after 10,000 recorded times, the associates told him to give up. You failed. And you know what he said? And this was a quote. He said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." That's the right kind of attitude. And after only 296 more tries, he finally invented the battery. His most famous invention that we all think about was the light bulb. Do you know that he worked out over 3,000 theories to develop a light bulb? And he worked with over 6,000 types of material to make the filament inside. And he finally got one that burned for 15 hours after those 6,000 tries. But he wasn't satisfied with that. So he kept working and he kept working until he created a bulb that finally lasted 1,500 hours. That's about the bulb that we had today up until these LEDs came out. Edison never gave up in his pursuits, and that's why he invented all kinds of things. I mean, could you imagine our world if we had no batteries and no lights? Think about that. That would be something. I mean, what if he wasn't there? What if nobody ever invented a battery? How would we power all these little handheld things or laptops, phones? There'd be no such things as any of those. There was no lights. We're still using candles. Well, it seems like, oh yeah, somebody else would have invented it. Well, it took him that many tries. How many people are willing to go through that many tries? And most of the inventions we have now, many of the inventions we have now that have to do with that, were based off of that invention. And they never would have happened. So, who knows? We may not have had it, had it not been for Thomas Edison. Now, if God is telling us to persevere, obviously there's a reason why he's telling us to persevere. Because he knows we're going to be going through trials and troubles and problems and all these difficult times in our life. So he knows that we're going to say some things to ourselves. Sometimes we do. And we say, you know what? I can't handle this. You ever say that? I can't handle this anymore. Or you get a little more upset and you say, I don't need this. Or maybe you're just thinking, like, this is too much. This is just too much for me. I can't go on. I just can't do it. I can't overcome this. I just can't seem to make this happen. God, I can't live up to your word. I can't stick with this diet. I can't talk to those people. I can't do this thing. I can't do that thing. I can't complete this. And so we're tempted to say then, I give up. I quit. But apparently God knows exactly how much we can handle. He knows everything. He knows the hairs on our head, and he knows everything about us, and he knows exactly how much we can handle before something would literally break us. Because there are things we can't do. I couldn't lift up a 5,000-pound boulder by myself. I mean, I just can't do it. Unless God told me to do it and he was going to empower me to do it, then yeah, I could do it. But we need to know that God will never give us more than we can handle, than we can bear. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So whenever we face something that we think we can't handle, you know, this is talking about temptation, but it's the same in all areas. If God is in our life and God is empowering us and God is working through us and we're allowing him to lead us, whatever he brings our way, he knows we can handle that. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." God is working his mighty power in us as we allow ourselves to be led by his Holy Spirit. That's how he does that. And all these trials and temptations, whatever we face, they were never, ever meant to harm us. Just the opposite. These are an exercise to build up our faith muscles. This is how we grow. This is how we become mature. This is how we move up the ladder, you know, and get stronger and stronger. James 1:4 says, let perseverance, there it is again, finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So we find that this struggle, these struggles are really good for us. Just like going to the gym and working out, that's good for us. We don't always want to go. Sometimes we just don't feel like it, then we push through and we do it and we find out it's good. Our struggles give us an opportunity to grow and to bring glory to God. And God is using those struggles, those very things that we're struggling through or with, to train us so we can continue to walk out in greater and greater levels our destiny, our calling, the plan, God's will for our life. It's no different than when someone trains to be a boxer or a baseball or a football player or a teacher or a lawyer or a painter or a musician or a, you know, whatever it is, whatever we go after, we have to work at it. It takes work. And so that struggle then is something that we have to go through so we can become good at that thing. We have to persevere through. What could be more worthwhile than to become what God wants you to be? Think about that. What could be more worthwhile could be more worthwhile than following His plan for your life, to becoming who He wants you to be? We need to have the same attitude that Paul did when Philippians 3:10, when he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participating in His sufferings. I'm sure he didn't particularly want the sufferings, but what he's saying there is that to be able to go through those sufferings with His power, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Then he says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. He knows he's not there, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting all my failures, forgetting all the times I blew it, forgetting everything that I've struggled with, and straining towards what is ahead, God's will, His plan, heaven, everything that's good, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you wanted to condense that whole statement down, Paul would just say, I am going to persevere. I will persevere. I will endure. I will go through this. I will accomplish. I will persevere. So as we persevere and we forge ahead, we become then more and more of the person that God designed us to be. That's how it happens. We don't become that person by giving up every time we face trouble. Then we become a failure if we constantly give up, if we're always quitting. God's trying to get us to the point where we never quit. We keep going. We press on. We persevere. Each one of us starts out sort of like a diamond in the rough. When you find a diamond originally, it's really not all that beautiful. But then what happens is it's chiseled, it's cut, it's polished, and then you have a beautiful, sparkling diamond. Paul said, I know that I am not perfect. And I think we could all agree that we're in the same place, right? We know that we're not perfect. And he said, I've not obtained all this. Again, neither have we. We don't have it all together yet. But one thing I do, I press on. Is that good advice for us? Paul always had his eyes on the goal. And too often we take our eyes off the goal. We get consumed with the here and the now. We get hung up on the day-to-day things that go on. Whether it's the latest show on TV or our favorite sports team, whether it's work, doing something with the kids. A lot of times great things, wonderful things. But if we push aside what God wants us to do, no matter what it is, it's not so wonderful. So whenever we take our eyes off the goal, we're really not following the recipe for success. Keeping our eyes on the goal is what helps us to persevere. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews 12:2. You know, Paul viewed all of the hardships and all of the trials and struggles that he went through with a peace that passes all understanding. Somehow he was able to endure all these things because he trusted in God's wisdom. You know, he put his faith in God's purpose and his will for his life. He trusted that God knew what he was doing, and he understood that there just wasn't a better way. For instance, when he had to go to Rome and he knew he was going to die, he just embraced it, and everything along the way, he just worked into that plan. Even when he got there, he used that time then to minister to people. He just embraced what God was doing in his life, trusting God that God knew the best way. And that all Paul had to do was persevere through that, and God would do work out great things. Who knows better than God what we need? Really, we don't. God does. So you may be going through something in your life right now. You might be. Right in your life right now, you might be feeling sort of burnout about some situation, feeling like, when is this going to end? How am I going to get through this? And you feel like giving up. And so these are the words that Paul would speak to you, that Jesus would speak to you, that I'm speaking to you now based on those, the scripture, is don't give up. Don't give up, give in. Give in to God. Press into God. Trust him and then press on, as Paul said. Press on towards the mark of your high calling. Every victory that we have, no matter how small, makes us stronger. And it brings more glory to God. We were warned from the very beginning we were going to face troubles, that we were going to have hardships. It's nothing new. It's always been that way. Job 5:7 says, man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Everyone in this world has troubles. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are, what race you are, what nationality, what religion, where you work, where you live, how old you are, does not matter. You will have trouble. So we need to get used to it. And just, that's the way it is. There's trouble. So we just go through it. There's also good times. We don't have to endure good times. We enjoy them. But when we have trouble, we endure it. We persevere. Some people try to drown their troubles in drinking or drugs or sex or, you know, some turn to eating or sleeping or, you know, isolating themselves or working too much, or they go to anger or buying stuff or whatever it is. There's all these, you know, cheap ways to try to get through our hard times. But every one of those things are nothing more than a temporary distraction, maybe a possible temporary fix. But typically they bring more problems than they fix. And the only way to deal with our problems and the things that we're going through is to turn them over to Christ and to walk in His power. To look at things through biblical understanding in the truth of the Word of God and grow through it and use that to help us to walk more in God's will. Remember, Jesus is the author who wrote the story of our faith. Remember, he's the author and the perfecter, the beginner and the finisher, as some versions say. He's the author who wrote our story, the story of your story, the story of your faith, your life, your walk, your call. And he's the perfecter of that story, too. He's the one who will finish it. As long as we keep our eyes on him, we fix our eyes on him, follow his way, he'll bring that story of our life to a successful conclusion. He's the one who has the incomparably power for us who believe, that we looked at earlier in Ephesians 1:19. And now we're told to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Whenever we feel weak, we have to remember he is strong. It doesn't matter how weak we feel, because we will. We'll feel like we can't handle it sometimes. We just have to persevere. At that time, sometimes you can barely keep your head above water. Sometimes you might be, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. And at that time, there's a thing in the military I remember, just popped into my head now, when these guys are out in the battlefield and they're totally lost and they don't know what's going on and everything's falling apart all around, they say, what was our last orders? Follow through on the last orders. Just keep going on what we knew to be right and it'll work out. And most of the time, it did. But in this case, with God, it always will. We follow through with what we know. In other words, no matter what happens, even when we can't hear God, we can't see him, we don't understand, we just persevere. We do what we know what is right. We do what is done according to the word. Maybe we need to get counseling. Maybe we need to, you know, get down in prayer. Maybe we need to get back into the word and read. Whatever we do, but we just persevere. We don't give up. We can't give up. And when we are weak, he is strong. His power is perfected in our weakness. So we turn to him. We turn to God. God, I can't hear you. I can't see you. I can't find you. But we go to him anyway. We just say, God, I'm here. I'm here. And eventually, you will find him. God will work it out. God will bring you through that if we keep going. The devil tries to blind us. He tries to throw so many things in front of us that we can't see what's going on, like we're in a blinding snowstorm. But we keep pressing on. We don't give up. When we think that we're going to fail, we turn to God. That's the time when we press in. We realize, I can't do it, God. I can't. We press into him, and he will deliver us. Psalm 117, verse 2 says, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. His faithfulness towards you endures forever. There's no time when he will not be faithful. There's no time when he forgets about you. There's no time when he doesn't have what is needed, when he doesn't have the power, the ability to see you through. We may not be able to see it at some given time, but we just trust in him. And so now we're told in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. When we are weak, he is strong. His grace is sufficient. His grace, the giftings, the Holy Spirit, his power. Whatever gift we need at that time, his grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. No matter how tired, no matter how worn, no matter how weary we feel sometimes, then he says in Matthew 11:28, come to me. It's always coming back to him. And sometimes these things bring us to that place that we need to be to get back to him. Sometimes nothing else will bring us to God. Nothing else will bring us to our knees. Nothing else will break us down except those troubles and those trials. And so we finally get to that place, that tired, worn, weary, broken, I can't make it, I can't do it, I can't see. What do? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Get back into that word. Start opening that word and reading. Start praying. Start worshiping. And you will break through. God is there. It's not God who's not there. It's us with too much junk in the way. And so when we push that junk aside and we start focusing on, once again, on Jesus, we start fixing our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, we will break through. We'll get out of that funk. We'll get out of that mindset that says, I'm lost. I can't make it. I can't endure. I can't handle it. He's expecting you. He's not only waiting, he's not only there, he's actually expecting you to come. He's even prepared a place for you. Remember that, we use it at funerals all the time, but it really could be for any time. Where in John 14:1 it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, and Jesus is saying, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? But it was true. It is true. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. There it is, that preparation again. God, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works prepared for us in advance. I knew you before you were born, before you were formed, before the foundations of the world. God's always ahead of the game. He's way ahead of us. And when we go through those times, he already knew it. He knew they were coming. He's already prepared a way out of those temptations, like that one scripture said we read a little while ago. He'll never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, but he will always provide a way out for us. Whatever we're going through, it doesn't matter what it is. There is nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world, that is going to surprise God that we have to go through. Try to think of something. What could there be that God wouldn't know? There's nothing. So anything that we're going through, God already has the answer. And so we turn to him, and we don't give up. We persevere. And we fight the good fight, and we finish the race. Just like Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He's promised us victory. He's promised us eternal life. He's promised us an abundant life. He's promised us peace, joy, a place in heaven, the Holy Spirit, salvation, forgiveness, blessings. He's promised us a lot. And that's there for us if we persevere. If we give up and we walk away, it's not for us. If we press on and we go forward, it's all ours. Victory is ours in Jesus Christ. If I could have the prayer team come forward. So I just want to encourage you today to persevere. Don't let things stop you. Even when you feel like it, it doesn't matter. Stand strong. Gird up your loins, as it says in the Bible. Stand strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, in his strength. Through him we can do all things. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. We start holding on to those things, knowing how much God loves us and how powerful He is, that incomparable great power for us who believe. It's there. It's there. Sometimes we don't feel it, but it's there. So we hang on to those truths. We hang on to those things even when we're blinded. We hang on, and all of a sudden we're on the other side. And once again, we had a victory. Once again, God has pulled us through. Once again, He's proven Himself to us. And that just keeps happening. As long as we press on and persevere, that will happen all of our life. God will constantly bring you through. He will always bring you through. He will never leave you or forsake you. Those are His words. Persevere. Don't give up. Persevere. Press on. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never surrender. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that we have what we need in You. We thank You that Your word is true. We thank You that You've called us to You and that You will bring us safely home. We thank You, Lord, that You're such a good God, that You love us with an everlasting love. You will never leave us or forsake us, Lord. So with all that, God, we know that we must persevere. There is no other good option. It's persevere. It's the only way. It's the only way. We can never give up, Lord God.